This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Change is coming to America.
I'm going to do everything I can to seat the Florida delegates at the convention.
I don't think Americans are concerned if we're there for 100 years or 1,000 years or 10,000 years.
Jesus was too smart to ever run for public office.
Blacks are gagging on the donkey, but not yet ready to swallow the elephant.
Say what? I never understood that one. What the heck does that mean? Hey, welcome North America to the weekend. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I'm broadcasting to you from the free speech zone we call the United States of America, live on XM Satellites Air America Channel 167 on WCPT AM 820 in Chicago and rebroadcast on AM 620 KPOJ in my hometown of Portland, Oregon. If you want to get involved in the conversation here, the phone number is 866-557-377. That number once again, 866-557-7377. Let's talk about our day-to-day paycheck-to-paycheck survival in George W. Bush's neocon nightmare. And what are we going to do to restore our Constitution and repair America's moral standing in the world? Well, it's been quite an exciting week with all of the contests that have come down here with the Democratic nomination in flux right now. It looks like Barack Obama's got a delegate lead and a vote lead, and boy, we got to talk about that today. So we'll be getting to that later on in one of our segments. Also, when we get to our under the radar segment, the FEMA trailers. Remember those trailers that they put everyone in from Hurricane Katrina and Rita? Yeah, it turns out that they're deadly poisonous. That's how we treat the poor in this country, right? You get what's coming to you. In our Living in America segment, we'll take a look at the American economy. Are we in a recession? Are we close to a recession? I want to know what you think about that, so we'll get on the phones and talk a little bit about that. In our Lunatic Fringe this week, oh my, we got some more Lunatic Fringe. You won't believe some of the things the right wing has been saying this week. And then, of course, the big story. Well, the big story this week is going to be all about FISA and telecom immunity. We got one last firebreak here before George Bush gets what he wants and protects himself and the telephone companies that spied on you illegally. But you know, I work a full-time job for a living, and I know that you do too. A lot of us are pretty busy folks, you know, working 2-3 jobs to keep up in George W. Bush's America, so you don't always have the time to catch up on the newspaper or the evening news. That's why every week here at the Russ Belville Show, we help you catch up with
The Week in 90 Seconds.
Barack Obama wins Washington, Nebraska, Louisiana, Maine, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
We will win the Democratic nomination. We will win the general election.
Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton takes her Solutions-a-Palooza tour to the significant states.
My opponent makes speeches. I offer solutions.
And Bill Clinton touts Hillary's experience, ignoring what he said while running in 1992.
I believe experience counts, but it's not everything.
Congress pays close attention to a baseball superstar's butt.
I have never taken steroids or HGH.
While the Senate's FISA bill gives telcos retroactive immunity.
Cooperation in warranted wiretapping is not at stake today. Collusion in warrantless wiretapping is.
The House votes to hold Myers and Bolton in contempt for ignoring subpoenas.
Political manipulation of law enforcement undermines public confidence in our criminal justice system.
Causing the House Republicans to stage a walkout.
But we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
The administration keeps fighting for the right to use water torture.
There is a specific definition in the anti-torture statute of severe mental pain or suffering.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke testifies about the state of the economy. And the Chicago area suffers another mass shooting at the university.
I have only 5 words for you.
From my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, boy, that kind of talk just boils my blood here. How many more times are we going to have to see some loner, crazed loner gunman type, you know, shooting up a university, shooting up a school, before we start to have a realistic discussion of gun control, a realistic discussion about our violence here in America? And I always like to turn to our board op, our engineer, our good friend, Stevie Lee. Stevie, hey, what is the deal here? You know, you don't have this kind of problem over there in Europe.
We do not. This is absolutely true. And it's one of the things which I find very, very, you know, very, very bizarre as yet. You know, it seems like you just said, how often is this going to have to happen? It looks like once a week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make light of this, but
we're going to have to get to. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to make light of it, but what are we going to do?
You're absolutely right, but one of the things which came to my mind is, and I don't mean to make light of this either at all, something definitely has to be done about it. But, you know, with all the wonderful Bushisms that they come out with, and Hestonisms, I think, are quite appropriate here. But we get Philippisms. We get Prince Philip.
Oh, I see.
Who is well known for making constant gaffes. For instance, when he went to Australia, he said to some Aborigines, "Do you still throw spears at each other then?"
So you guys have your own bushy light, huh?
We do, and the reason it brought me to mind was we had a very unfortunate incident with gun control in a school in Scotland, in Dunblane, and Prince Philip said, "What if someone went in there with a cricket bat? Are you going to ban cricket bats?"
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how many people can you hit upside the head with a cricket bat from long range? Come on!
This is the kind of attitude that people take when you say, "We've got to do something about gun control." What, are you going to ban baseball bats then, in case someone does that? No, you just make it more controlled so people don't go in there and shoot people.
Yeah, and another part of it, I think, also is beyond just the acquisition of the firearm, but also something about our national character that makes men, particularly we're talking about usually young white men, with the exception of the shooter Cho out there at Virginia Tech, we're usually talking about young white men who feel I don't know what they're feeling, that's hopeless, apparently, that leads them to want to take out, you know, everyone in their class.
But exactly, and if you have to wait 2 weeks to do it, you're still going to do it. It's not going to change your mind.
Yeah.
This is the kind of help that people really need. And I think it's something that maybe the school should be addressing as well.
Yeah, and I'd like someone to take a look at about how this might have something to do with economic situations in the country as well. I mean, when you feel like you got nothing to live for, you can't pay for your student loans, there's no job opportunities out on the horizon, you know, I think all these things contribute to the hopelessness that a lot of Americans feel.
Absolutely. You're an angry young man. Who are you going to take it out on?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Everybody.
And if you're given the opportunity to do it, you will.
Yeah. Well, it's just a sad thing, and my heart goes out to the friends and family of the people who were killed and injured out there in Northern Illinois University, out there in DeKalb. I actually know a assistant professor out there at Northern Illinois. She's fine. She wasn't a part of the shooting or anything like that. But you know, it's starting to hit closer to home, and that's just really sad. Now, I do want to move on here to some other stories. This is a little thing I picked up. I picked this up off of the CNN Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. And it's Charles Barkley. They're having the NBA All-Star Game down in New Orleans. And so they wanted to interview Charles Barkley about his contention that he might run for governor of Alabama in the year 2014. Now, he has to have 7 years' worth of residency in the state of Alabama before he's eligible to run for governor. And so he just last year bought a home in Alabama. So Wolf Blitzer's got him on the TV asking him about his political leanings. Barkley's famous in the past for having said that he has money like a Republican, but he votes like a Democrat. But it was when he got to this little quote and that made me just have a newfound appreciation for Charles Barkley. This is Charles Barkley being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer.
All right, one quick point before I let you go. You use the phrase fake Christians for conservatives. Explain what you're talking about.
Well, I think they want to be judge and jury. Like, I'm for gay marriage. It's none of my business if gay people want to get married. I'm pro-choice. And I think these Christians, first of all, they're supposed to be, they're not supposed to judge other people, but they're the most hypocritical judge of people we have in this country. And it bugs the hell out of me. And they act like they're Christians and they're not forgiven at all.
So you're going to get a lot of feedback on this one, Charles.
They can't do anything to me. I don't work for them.
Yeah. You feel comfortable saying all that?
I feel very comfortable saying I'm pro-choice and I'm for gay marriage. Very comfortable.
But you can't lump all these conservatives as being fake. A lot of them, obviously, most of them are very, very sincere in their religious beliefs.
Well, they should read the part of the Bible. They're not supposed to judge other people. They forget that one when it doesn't fit what they want to say.
Oh, yeah. Big ups to Charles Barkley for saying what so many of us have been saying for so long about these fake, conservative, compassionate Christians, allegedly. Yeah, good ups
Thou
on you.
Thou shalt not.
That's right. Thou shalt Thou not shalt judge. Not.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here.
No, we're not blaspheming in here, Aretha. We're just saying, okay? If you're going to stand up and say that you believe in the Bible and you believe in the words of Jesus, you ought to start walking the walk and just instead of just talking the talk. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to go to our Under the Radar segment. We're going to talk about those FEMA trailers and what's going on with that, undercovering that. You are listening to the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives.
Worn-out brakes are dangerous. When you come to a stop, are your brakes making an awful squealing noise or causing a vibration? Get to Pep Boys today and have your brakes checked by our own ASE-certified technicians. And right now, save up to $20 on any brake service after a mail-in rebate. Don't compromise the safety of you and your family. Get to Pep Boys today. And backed by popular demand, buy three tires at Pep Boys. Get the fourth one free after mail-in rebate. Some restrictions apply. Only at Pep Boys. Welcome to Roulade's Relieve It or Not.
I'm Patty P. When I put away pickled peppers in an eating contest, I got first prize and a first-class case of heartburn.
Could Rolaids relieve it or not? Remember, Extra Strength Rolaids neutralizes 21% more acid than Tums EX to wipe out tough heartburn in minutes. And unlike pickled peppers, Rolaids tastes delicious, Patty.
Rolaids relieved even my tough heartburn.
R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Rolaids spells fast relief. Life does not correlate with symptom relief. Use as directed.
The real estate market is ever-changing and highly localized. Interest rates are low and buyer opportunities have never been better. If you're on the fence, the National Association of Realtors wants you to know that a home isn't just a great place to raise a family. It's also the key to building long-term wealth. On average, the value of a home nearly doubles every 10 years. To learn more, visit housingmarketfacts.com. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. Figures based on NAR's existing home sales historic series. Markets may vary.
Hi, Ty Pennington here from Bayer. Looking for a healthy resolution you can stick with? Resolve to talk to your doctor about starting an aspirin regimen. Taken regularly, aspirin can help reduce the risk of a heart attack up to 32% for those at appropriate risk.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer is a proud supporter of the American Heart Association's START program.
Bayer Aspirin. Expect wonders.
Use as directed.
If you're like Christine, who joined me on the Dr. Phil Show, your mortgage is making you mad. Christine saw her rate rise to a whopping 8.5% and saw her monthly payments jump 30%. In a moment, what you need to know so this doesn't happen to you.
Today's advice from the Millionaire Zone's Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree.com. Now is the perfect time to refinance with LendingTree before your adjustable rate mortgage payments increase. Visit LendingTree.com today or call 1-800-555-TREE and you could lower your monthly payments. When banks compete, you win. See website or call for sponsorship details and licensing.
The interest rate on adjustable rate mortgages changes based on the movement of the financial index it's tied to. Say you have a 5-1 ARM. In that case, your loan's rate is fixed for 5 years and then adjusts yearly after that. Millions will see their loan payments rise in the coming months. If rising rates are scaring you, do what I did for Christine. Refinance into a fixed-rate mortgage if you plan on staying in your home a while. That way you can sleep at night and manage your budget.
Thank you.
is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star.
Hey, welcome back. It's 21 after the hour, and I'm your Red State refugee, Radical Russ, bringing you live progressive talk here on the weekends for those of us who work for a living on the weekdays. And speaking of working for a living, I just wanted to talk just briefly a little bit about the future of the Russ Belville Show. We've been cooking along here on all cylinders for the better part of, 9 months now. A lot of you who just joined us later on in the show, you might not realize that I'm the winner of a contest, which was the search for the next great progressive talk radio star. The contest sponsorship will be ending here in the middle of April. Now, that doesn't mean the show will be ending. We want to keep this show going because, tell you what, I'm having a lot of fun talking to everybody across the country and across the continent for that matter. But, business reality is business reality. We're looking for sponsors. So if you're interested in being a sponsor to help keep alive progressive talk on the weekend, just give me an email. Send me an email at radicalruss@gmail.com if you're interested in sponsorship. We would love to keep the show going on. So please, radicalruss@gmail.com. Also, the phone number here is 866-5577-377.
We want to keep you around, Double R.
We'll do what we can, Stevie.
You're not cheap, I should know.
Now, every week here at the Russ Belville Show, we sift through the headlines to find the stories buried in the back pages or ignored on the evening news. Stories our citizens and our leaders need to hear. In this segment, we go under the radar. Yeah, for our Under the Radar segment today, I wanted to focus a little bit on how we treat the least of these. You know, I got a lot of folks on the right wing who email me and call me and talk about how we're a Christian nation. And one of the things I seem to recall when I was reading that Bible is how it said, how you treat the least of these, that's how you treat me. That's what Jesus said. He said, you got to treat the poor, you got to treat the disadvantaged, you got to treat the sick. And that's how you're treating him. So with respect to that, I want to take a look at these FEMA trailers. There's a recent study here that was just put out by the Centers for Disease Control that confirms something that we all knew all along, and it's about those FEMA trailers. They are a toxic hazard. Yeah, we've got the people who were living in New Orleans and the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Alabama Gulf Coast there, who got put out of their homes. It's almost this summer, it's going to be 3 years ago. And there's still tens of thousands of people living in these trailers. Almost 3 years later. And we still remember Bush saying he promised that we'd rebuild New Orleans. Remember that? Yeah. So we put these people in these trailers. And first of all, There had been a lot of theory that these trailers were going to be toxic with huge levels of formaldehyde in the trailers, and formaldehyde's a big problem. It's a colorless gas, and what it can do is it can cause all sorts of respiratory problems, and it's actually been classified as a carcinogen by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, and as a probable carcinogen by the US EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. So we put these people in these trailers that have these huge levels of formaldehyde. This has just been, supposed, because nobody actually took a look. It was just believed that people were having these problems. Nobody actually took a look. And part of that was because FEMA resisted looking into how poisonous these trailers might be. They had previously dismissed the findings by environmentalists that the trailers posed serious health risks. And their big excuse was, well, these trailers conform to industry standards. They meet the standards. Never mind the fact that the Bush administration always puts people in charge of setting those standards so that the corporations can make more money and don't pay very much attention to whether or not it's dangerous to the people. Well, finally, a federal judge ordered there to be a study on these FEMA trailers to examine the problem of formaldehyde. And the findings of the Centers for Disease Control are shocking. On average, the air inside of these trailers had five times the level of formaldehyde that you'd find in a modern home. And some trailers had 40 times the allowable limits for formaldehyde gas. Now, this is affecting 25,162 trailers in Louisiana. That's 25,000 families living in these trailers, children living in these trailers in Louisiana, 10,362 in Mississippi, and hundreds more in other states. So at least 35,000 families breathing in toxic formaldehyde, because that's the best we could do. That's the best we could do for the least of these, was to throw them in a poisonous trailer. So the FDA now, and the Centers for Disease Control, their goal here is they say, well, we got to get these people out of the trailers before the warm summer months, because the heat will make the formaldehyde worse, right? So that we're on a time crunch. Now, never mind the fact that these people have already been in the trailers for the past two summers with five times or 40 times the level of formaldehyde. And until then, here's their suggestion. This is the CDC's guide for the folks, what they should do. Keep the windows open and refrain from smoking. That's the solution for now. Tough luck, folks. Tough luck, poor people. You're just going to have to live in the trailers and, you know, try not to smoke. This is just...
Are they going to add hold your breath in there?
Yeah, really. Hold your breath. This is how we're treating the least of these.
We'll be around in a minute to give you a nice paper cut and pour some lemon juice on it at the same time.
No kidding. Now, this is the director of the CDC. This is Julie Gerberding? I think I'm pronouncing that right. And this is her recommendation.
We're making the recommendation that all of the people in these situations be relocated to safer permanent housing as quickly as possible, and certainly before the warm summer months arrive.
Well, that's a great recommendation. You know, I imagine that trying to get 35,000 people out of trailers and into permanent housing, I'm going to bet that's going to cost a lot of money. I wonder how much money that would cost. I wonder if it might cost $12 billion a month. No, probably wouldn't cost that much, but that's what we're spending in Iraq. We're spending $12 billion a month in Iraq. Meanwhile, 35,000 families sitting in poisonous trailers. How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel about how prepared we are to take care of the least of us? Now, and this just gets worse. This just gets worse, because you realize last week we had the major tornadoes that touched down in Arkansas and Tennessee. Right now, FEMA is saying they've got 7,200 of those trailers stored at the Hope Airport, and they want to use these trailers for the victims of the twisters that fell down in Arkansas and Tennessee. So, yay, good for them! Yay, they get a poisonous trailer. How lucky can you get here in Bush's America? And you know, it's not just Tennessee, not just Arkansas, not just the Gulf Coast. This could happen anywhere. You know, every area of the country is subject to some sort of natural disaster. Out here on the West Coast, we got the problem with earthquakes. East Coast, you could have perhaps a terrorist attack, tornadoes, floods, plagues of locusts, whatever. There could be some definite problems. So, good luck to the folks out there dealing with FEMA. Now, when we come back from our news break here, we're going to get into the Living in America segment, talk about the American economy going down the toilet. I'm Radical Russ Belville, your Red State refugee, and this is the Russ Belville Show.
Call Radical Russ now, 866-557-7377. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Yes, it is, and welcome back. It's 35 after the hour, and you're listening to live weekend progressive talk for the average working class American from an average working class American. That's me, Radical Russ Belville. And be sure to check out the website, radicalruss.net. We've got our poll up online. Who's it going to be for you, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? The responses right now are running about 5-2 in favor of Barack Obama. So Clinton supporters, if you're out there, you need to get on that poll and start adding to the numbers there. But actually, the poll's turning out kind of the way I'd hoped. Anyway, also want to let you know as well that the cartoons are available up there on the site. The What Now cartoons from Keith Tucker. He's got one up there about telecom immunity right now. It's a great cartoon. Check out the website, radicalruss.net. Neocon regressives like to say that we liberals hate America first. I like to say we liberals love America most. That's why we're so disappointed in how badly regressives trash her reputation and treat her people. So today, we help our leaders focus on the plight of the little guy by taking our look at living in America.
Ah! Oh, good God!
Help me! Wow!
That's right. I still miss James Brown, man. I still miss James Brown. Now, speaking of living in America here today, what's happening here for the average Americans, it all has to do with the economy. A lot of people are talking about whether or not we are in a recession officially. Some people like to say, well, it's not officially a recession because you have to technically have two straight quarters of negative growth for it. Whatever. Us folks living down here in paycheck to paycheck land, it's been a recession for about the past 7 years, okay? But that's what's happening right now is a lot of people are worried about the economy. And recently, in fact, just this week, in testimony in front of the Senate Banking Committee, we had the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, up there in front of Congress talking about the U.S. economy. And, well, he's finally admitting that the outlook for the U.S. economy is getting worse.
In part as the result of the developments in financial markets, the outlook for the economy has worsened in recent months, and the downside risks to growth have increased.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there, Mr. Bernanke, and that would have a lot to do with the reckless fiscal policies of your predecessor, Alan Greenspan, who managed to just let that housing bubble keep growing and growing and growing. And now, a lot of people, a lot of good Americans who their only potential source of wealth is their home, they're seeing that wealth start to decline. They're trapped in these adjustable rate mortgages, these lousy loans that the banking industry was allowed to get with. And this all comes from the typical philosophy of these George W. Bush neocon Republicans. You know, they're the ones that kept saying that, you know, government is not the answer to the problem. Government is the problem. It goes all the way back to Ronald Reagan. You remember when Ronald Reagan used to say the worst words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." So is it any surprise that when we get these people who believe that government is bad into office, that government turns out bad? What a surprise. This was their goal. We go back to Grover Norquist, the anti-tax zealot on the right, who kept saying that he wants to shrink the U.S. government down to the point where it can be drowned in a bathtub. And, we're drowning, okay? We're all drowning out here, and it's about time we get a little bit of help. You know, and Bernanke goes on to say that we're having a sluggish economy.
At present, my baseline outlook involves a period of sluggish growth, followed by a somewhat stronger pace of growth starting later this year as the effects of monetary and fiscal stimulus begin to be felt.
Ah, yes, the stimulus, the monetary and fiscal stimulus. Yes, we're going to be getting a stimulus package. Now, a stimulus package, it sounds like something out of the Adam and Eve catalog, but okay. The stimulus package here now, start talking here about the how the American people are feeling about this. Because, you know, the folks at the top, these people, the policy decision makers, these rich folks up at the top, are loath to call it a recession. They don't want to use the R word. And yet, economic forecasters now are saying the threat of a recession in the United States is about 50-50. And when we poll the Americans, the Pew Research Center just came out with a poll here, and it says nearly half of the Americans, about 46%, rate the economy as fair or poor, blame President Bush for a great deal of the nation's economic problems. Now, compared to Congress, only about 31% of people blame Congress for the bad economy. About 31% blame multinational corporations and banks and financial institutions. And only about a third of the conservative Republicans, even the people who are supposedly going to be on Bush's side, a third, 34% of conservative Republicans offer a positive view of the economy. And this is a significant shift over just the span of 1 month. Last month, when asked the same question, conservative Republicans, about 54% of them had a positive view of the economy. So already a 20% drop in how the conservatives view the economy. Now, when people are asked what worries them most about the economic issues, about 35% say they worry about rising gasoline prices. Isn't that odd? We got an oil man in the White House, and gas went from $1 a gallon to $3 a gallon. I mean, gee, that's strange. That's odd. What a strange coincidence. Other folks are worried. 28% say they worry about rising health care costs. And, of course, we've got a president in the office right now who is against giving health insurance to poor children, who's vetoed S-CHIP, I don't know how many times now, 2-3 times now. And so, yeah, people are worried about the health care as well. By comparison, only about 12% of the people cite the real estate values and the food prices. So that's less of a concern than the gas and the healthcare. And despite all of the ups and downs on Wall Street, you know, with its losing 300 points here and there, despite that, only about 7% of the people care that much about the stock market volatility. And you know why? Most of us can't afford to invest in the stock market. That's why. Good Lord, we're concerned about getting gas. We're concerned about paying childcare. We're concerned about our healthcare. We ain't got time to invest in the latest IPO. That's the thing when I hear this economic news that just burns me here, is it's all the focus on the stock market. You know, the stock market is the rich man's game. Those of us down here at the bottom, we're worried about buying a gallon of milk, okay? Do you even know what a gallon of milk costs, President Bush? Do you even know what a loaf of bread costs these days? I highly doubt it. But of course, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about our economic problems because President Bush is going to offer us a robust stimulus package.
I'm so pleased that the Congress and the administration work closely together to pass a robust pro-growth package to deal with the uncertainties.
Yeah, so this stimulus package that they're putting out, you know, they're going to give us back some of our own money, right? Because this is a borrowing against the future tax revenue. You understand that, right? This isn't free money coming from nowhere. We're going to pay for it in the end. Actually, not us, but our children and grandchildren will be paying for this. And it's all going to be borrowed from Saudi Arabia and China and those folks. And what are we going to spend it on? Gas and Chinese goods from Walmart. So the money just keeps going round and round from us to us, back out to China, back out to Saudi Arabia. But let's think about this stimulus package for a second. They're saying they're going to give $600 to a single taxpayer, $1,200 to a married couple. Okay, so let's take that. Let's take $1,200 for your typical married couple. Now, $1,200 divided by $3 a gallon, and let's see, your average commute's about 16 miles one way. That's 32 miles a day. About the average mile per gallon on an American car is about 25 miles per gallon. You got to work 5 days a week. Let's see, that works out to $19.20 to pay for enough gas to get you back and forth to work. So hooray, the $1,200, that's going to pay for about 62 weeks of commuting back and forth to work. That's good, isn't it? Oh, wait a minute. I forgot about childcare. Oh, yeah. Got to pay for the daycare. Now the stimulus package, they're going to give you $300 per kid, so that helps. So let's say, you know, average American family, got two kids. That's going to get you up to about $1,800, but average daycare costs about $150 a week, and now you got about $1,800 divided by gas and childcare. That works out to about 2.5 months that the stimulus package is going to help the average American family. Oh, but you know what? I forgot something else. Healthcare. Gotta pay for healthcare. Let's see now. The average monthly healthcare cost for an American family of four works out to about $950 a month. And then throw in the childcare and the gas to get back and forth to work to pay for it all, and yippee! The stimulus pays for just about a month. Yep. So enjoy your stimulus. I'm Russ Belville. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back after these short messages with our Lunatic Fringe Awards. Stay tuned.
You're a red state refugee. Radical Russ. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back. 50 after the hour, and you've found the weekend home for the working class survivors of George W. Bush's neocon nightmare.
The lunatic is on the grass.
Now it's time for our weekly roundup of the right wing's altered reality.
The lunatic is on the grass.
From the Guanoloco neocon chicken hawks to the hypocritical American Taliban. And the cable news punditocracy. The Russ Belville Show presents
the
Lunatic Fringe Award, an award dedicated to the politician, pundit, or preacher who said the most ignorant, hateful, or bizarre quote of the week. Oh, we got a full slate here of lunatic fringery to get to today, so we got to jump right into it. First, we're going to go to Tennessee. This is in the state senate of Tennessee. Some discussions going on there about a bill that one of these senators got up and says one of the most strangest things. They were talking about something having to do with abortion, I believe it was, but then somehow the conversation got onto the topic of rape. And this is Senator Doug Henry, State Senator Doug Henry from Tennessee, discussing how rape has changed over the years.
Rape, ladies and gentlemen, is not today what rape was. Rape, when I was learning these things, was the violation of a chaste woman against her will by some party, not her spouse. Today it's simply, let's don't go forward with this act.
So rape is just saying that you don't want to go forward with the act. That is the oddest, strangest, most weird, sexist thing I've heard come out of a Republican in some... What's that? He's a Democrat? This guy's a Democrat? Are you kidding me? All right, well, let me move on. We're going to go to the $50 million man on this one. This is Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck had an interesting theory about what it's like to be an ugly woman in today's society.
Okay, so anyway, let's talk about ugly people. Ugly people, if you're a guy, you can get past it. I don't think you can as an ugly woman. I don't. If you're an ugly woman, I apologize. Oh, you've got a double cross, because if you're an ugly woman, you're probably a progressive as well. Oh, jeez. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks.
Today is just not your day. But you know what? If you believed in God, you'd know that there's going to be another chance for you. You don't have to be ugly in heaven. You're going to be your perfect self. And there will be another perfect somebody waiting for you on the other side. Until that time,
yeah. All right, Glenn. So basically, if you're an ugly woman, you're probably progressive and you don't believe in God. Because that's the way all ugly women are. Okay. Well, Glenn, I'm afraid I can't give you the Lunatic Fringe Award for that one today because, well, normally I would, but there's some far more lunatic fringery going on here. And first of all, just to disprove your point about ugly women being progressive, we turn to Ann Coulter, the Coultergeist, and her recent comments about Barack Obama on the Neil Cavuto show on Fox Noise.
Hillary Clinton would be more conservative than John McCain on illegal immigration, I think on terrorism if there's a terrorist attack. Both B. Hussein Obama and John McCain, in the event of a terrorist attack, will go take a tour of Mecca.
But will you, you said you'd vote for Hillary
I'm making no commitments on B. Hussein Obama.
You're hedging.
But at least B. Hussein Obama would probably just be a Jimmy Carter, and for years we'd pick up seats. With McCain will get the same policies. We'll probably lose a lot of seats in the House and the Senate in the midterm election. We'll lose a lot of seats in 2012. Then they get President B. Hussein Obama in there, and he has massive majorities in the House.
So why do you keep saying B. Hussein Obama?
Well, that's his name.
I know.
It's shocking that
it's also Barack Obama.
That he's probably going to be our next president, President Hussein.
President Hussein. Yeah, she can't get around the name Hussein for some reason, despite the fact that Hussein... Well, it's a name like Smith or Williams or Anderson or Johnson. It's a very, very, very common name. I mean, there was a King Hussein of Jordan who's our ally. I mean, the Coulter guys, though. What can you say about Ann Coulter that hasn't already been said many times with some profanity involved? But she's not our winner today, unfortunately. Our winner, another contestant, and this guy would have won, other than my winner today is much more heinous than this, if you can believe it, but Michael Wiener Savage, you know Michael Wiener Savage, the conservative talk, Wiener, Michael Wiener Savage, the conservative talk show host. Now, you realize that this week we had the loss of Tom Lantos, Representative Lantos from California, died at age 80, and Representative Lantos was the only member of Congress to have been a Holocaust survivor. He survived the Holocaust. He, as a teenager, he had escaped twice. He had escaped twice from prison camps in the Nazi prison camps. And so this is Michael Savage, I guess, eulogizing or remembering, at least, Representative Lantos.
You're not supposed to talk badly about the dead. I generally wouldn't do it. But in the case of Tom Lantos, I'll make an exception. I think he was one of the most... He was a scoundrel. And I'll tell you why I detested Tom Lantos. The man survived the Holocaust of World War II and used it as a weapon the rest of his life. That's why. Do you understand what I just said to you? You can't have it both ways. You can't suffer such a horror and then use it as a weapon without people noticing it. You know what I'm saying to you? I didn't like Tom Lantos.
Yeah, using the Holocaust as a weapon. Yeah, that's the typical understanding we get from Michael Wiener Savage here. You know, just awful, awful thing to say about the man. Just a terrible thing to say. And normally that would be my winner. I mean, that's pretty heinous anytime someone says something like that with regard to the Holocaust survivors. But this week we get a newbie. A total newbie to the Lunatic Fringe Award. The guy I didn't even realize existed, but apparently he's got a show on the Fox Noise Radio. His name is Tom Sullivan, and Tom Sullivan here got a caller who was comparing Barack Obama's speeches to Adolf Hitler's speeches, believe it or not. And Sullivan thought it might be interesting to take the comparison just a little bit farther.
Caller just before the bottom of the hour said the Barack Obama speech reminds him of hearing the speeches of Adolf Hitler. So, ladies and gentlemen, from the past, a little archive, a little walk down Der Führer's memory lane, here he is, the one, the only, Adolf Hitler.
Wir wollen, dass dieses Volk ein friedliebend und aber auch tapferes und ihres Friedfertigkeit.
Yay! Yay! All right, great. I don't know what he said. Here's Barack Obama.
Virginia, this is our moment. This is our time. And if you will stand with me on Tuesday, if you will vote for me on Tuesday, then we will not just win the primary in Virginia. We will win this nomination, and we will win the general election. And you and I together, we will transform this country. And we will transform the world. Thank you.
Yay! Yay!
Godwin alert. Hysterical reference to Nazi Germany. Godwin alert. Hysterical reference to Nazi Germany.
So Tom Sullivan, for demonstrating the idiocy of Ann Coulter while being far less attractive, you are the winner of this week's Lunatic Fringe Award. God, I can't believe these people. Comparing Obama to Hitler. Yeah, it takes a right winger. Now, when we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be getting into our big story about the FISA debate and telecom immunity. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives.
This is The Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, welcome to the weekend. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I'm broadcasting here from the free speech zone we call the United States of America. We're on XM Satellites, Air America Channel 167, on AM 820 WCPT in Chicago, and AM 620 KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. The phone number here is 866-557-377. That's 866-557-7377. You can get involved. Let your opinion be known to all of the North American continent. Let's talk about our day-to-day paycheck-to-paycheck survival here in George W. Bush's neocon nightmare and what we're going to do to restore our Constitution and repair America's moral standing in the world.
Now it's time for the big story.
Oh my, what a big story you have.
Thanks. Now here's Radical Russ.
Thank you, Terry. Yes, it's time for the big story, and what we're going to talk about here at the top of this hour has to do with the FISA reauthorization that passed through the Senate. That's right. Senator Chris Dodd had been standing up and trying to filibuster against giving retroactive immunity to the telecom companies that assisted George W. Bush in spying on you without a warrant. And, you know, a lot of people don't take this as seriously as they should take it. You know, they tend to have, well, you know, so what? They listen to my stuff. You know, it's not like I'm a terrorist. If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have nothing to worry about. Yeah, look, this is what they were doing, okay? They had a secret room in San Francisco at one of the AT&T major switching stations there. And recently, one of the IT techs who worked there testified, or at least gave his testimony here, that he was ordered to place line taps directly on the fiber optic trunks at the AT&T headquarters there in San Francisco in a secret little room called Room 641A. And what that means is, it doesn't mean that they were wiretapping just Al-Qaeda. They weren't just trying to tap into the lines of people who might be having conversations that go to international destinations, like perhaps maybe Iraq or Afghanistan or Pakistan or something like that. This was a tap on the fiber optic trunk to copy every single piece of information that went through those fiber optic lines. Every website you ever visited, everything you ever bought on eBay, every little detail of your checking account that you balanced online, every conversation you had on the phone, every email that you sent back and forth to anybody, every little picture you looked at on the internet, every single piece of information in your electronic life captured at that 641A room and copied for the National Security Administration there to be able to just look at everything you thought, everything you bought, everything you looked at. That doesn't scare you a little? Well, in this story, what has happened here is that in the Senate, they did manage to pass the bill that George W. Bush wanted that would give the telcos retroactive immunity. Now, the whole retroactive immunity thing here isn't so much to protect the telephone companies. It's more to protect George W. Bush, because if these lawsuits can't go forward, and there's at least 40 lawsuits now that are going forward about this whole warrantless wiretapping, if these lawsuits go forward, we're going to find out exactly who ordered this to go forward, what they were looking for, who they were tapping, what information they were trying to get. Bush wants to bury this. Bush knows that when this gets out about who he was spying on, and I have my theories about this. My theories here is that it has nothing to do with spying on Al-Qaeda, and a whole lot to do with spying on Democratic opponents, senators, people that the Bush administration wants to keep quiet. And so it's just sad that our Senate, and so many people, so many Democrats who actually stood up on this and voted for this retroactive immunity, just makes me ashamed to call them Democrats. And some people that I really respect, like Jim Webb, was out there voting for this thing. You just can't believe this. So it went to the House. And when it went to the House, George Bush got back on his stump there and talked about how if they didn't pass this immediately, FISA was going to expire and this would cause there to be some sort of attack on America.
Now, into the first case, you know, whether or not this is politics, I certainly hope not. I can assure you Al-Qaeda and their planning isn't thinking about politics. They're thinking about hurting the American people again.
So once again, do what Bush wants or you're all going to die. Right.
Hey, Double R.
Yes.
I am so glad that you're still on the air, because when the Protect America Act expired last night at midnight, I thought we were going to all wake up dead.
Could have.
Isn't that what was supposed to happen?
Yep. Al-Qaeda was sitting there watching their watch. You know, they're sitting there watching the calendar. And as soon as Friday midnight hit, yep, exactly. That, you know, it was
like New Year. They were doing a big countdown. 10, 9, 8, yeah.
And the sad thing is this is completely a lie, of course, because the FISA protections continue through August. They can continue to go under the original FISA law where they can wiretap anyone they want without a warrant so long as they put the paperwork within 3 days. So it's a complete lie coming out of the Bush administration. And finally, can you believe it? The House of Representatives finally stood up against this. Speaker Pelosi, now this is kind of a convoluted story, but what had happened is that they were pulling forth this, they're bringing up a bill that would put Josh Bolton and Harriet Myers, the former White House aides, under contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with the subpoenas that they had put forth on them regarding the U.S. attorney scandal, right? So they had subpoenaed them, and the Bush White House said, no, we've got executive privilege, they don't have to show. And so finally, the House brought up this bill to finally hold someone responsible, finally hold someone accountable. And the Republicans thought that this was just some sort of trick, some sort of stunt, some sort of political maneuvering to avoid getting to the FISA thing. And so John Boehner, or John Boehner, whatever his name is, John Boehner, the Republican leader in the House, had a hissy fit. He stood up and made sure, he made all the guys, all the Republicans in the Senate, in the House, walk out because of this bill being brought forth.
We will not stand here and watch this floor be abused for pure political grandstanding at the expense of our national security. We will not stand for this, and we will not stay for this. And I would ask my House Republican colleagues and those who believe that we should be here protecting the American people, not vote on this bill. Let's just get up and leave.
You can do what you want to us, but we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
Oh, I'm sorry. That last part? That last part's from the movie Animal House. I'm sorry. I got those speeches confused because they were so similar. This is the... Talk about political grandstanding. Here, Boehner wants to complain about the Democrats politically grandstanding. And what does he do? He throws a hissy fit, says he's going to take his ball and go home. And all the Republicans go out to the front steps where there's already microphones standing right there so that he can make some big speech about the Democrats grandstanding. That is just, isn't that just
lucky,
amazing?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it just happened to be there was a microphone sitting out there.
How fortunate.
Lucky him. And the thing is, you know, we already know that a wiretap requires a court order.
A wiretap requires a court order.
So what is the problem with going forward and allowing these lawsuits to go forward? What the problem is the president wants to protect the telcos. He wants to protect his buddies in big business from some sort of large punitive damages. And there's been bills that have been brought forth to say, okay, let's just let the lawsuits go forward, but restrict the punitive damages so it doesn't hurt the economy or hurt these companies so great, and they're resisting even that. So it's nothing to do with protecting the telcos. It's about protecting Bush's butt. It's about protecting him from all of the illegal things we would find out that he did if these lawsuits were to go forward. Now, the other thing about this this telco immunity, too, is that the House Republicans were given a chance to extend this law. You know, they you know, Boehner's up there saying, oh, how could you, you know, let the American people be subject to attack and the president won't have the powers to spy on anybody he wants anytime he wants. So we gave him the chance to extend it for 3 weeks. You could go ahead. All right. If you think it's so serious, we'll extend it for 3 weeks and keep talking about it. And they refused. They went against that. They wouldn't pass that extension. So how important is it, again, that we protect the American people? It's so important that you won't vote to extend it for 3 weeks, huh? And Bush has repeatedly said that he will veto any bill on FISA that does not protect the telcos, that does not give them retroactive immunity. So what he's saying there to you, my American friends, my American people, is that he's willing to let American people die rather than have AT&T and Verizon have to go to a court case, right? Because he keeps saying that if he doesn't have this power, that the American people are at risk, and yet he's willing to let this power not exist if his telco buddies aren't protected. So it's all about the money, folks. It's all about the big media trying to protect him and him trying to protect the big media. You and I don't mean jack squat. Now, when we come back from the break here, we're going to be taking your calls, giving power to the people. We've got one person hanging on the line up here in the Pacific Northwest. We'll get to you right after the break. Anyone else wants to call in? The phone number here is 866-5577-377. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We've got the Hillary and Barack fighting it out for the Democratic nomination, FISA, torture, waterboarding. It's you and me, folks. Let's get it on. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Russ Belville Show. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back. It's 22 after the hour, and I'm Radical Russ, here to take our country back one person at a time every weekend. Remember, it's still we the people, not we the corporations. And we'd also like to let you know, if you want to get your voice heard, the phone number here is 866-5577-377. Our email address is radicalruss@gmail.com, and the website, radicalruss.net. Let's turn things over to the good and wise people of North America and hear your voices. Let's stand up together and fight the power. Let our leaders know how we feel. Yeah, it's about time we give the people what we want. We're going to turn to your voices. Let's turn first to my place up here, the Pacific Northwest and Seattle, Washington. We got Shad in Seattle. Shad, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
How you doing, Russ?
So far, so good.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Good. Hey, I don't know where the outrage and the rage is from our side. We get the reputation for being weak and cowardly, but on a lot of issues, we're acting like it. For example, Ann Coulter, the disgusting human being that she is, the people you referenced on your last segment talking about Barack Obama and the Hitler speech, those people can say whatever they want. David Schuster makes a comment that is, it's offensive, but I don't know, it doesn't offend my sensibilities, but it's offensive, and he gets kicked off the air.
Mm. Yeah.
We have to play by different rules, and it's unfair.
Yeah.
This administration, this Bush administration, has left a stain of blood and shame on this country, and it's going to take someone like Barack Obama to inspire the people to even begin to clean it up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And let me cover that just in case some of the folks don't know about what the Schuster comment was. This was a big firestorm this week because David Schuster on MSNBC was talking about how Bill and Hillary Clinton, how Hillary Clinton was having Bill and daughter Chelsea out there campaigning for him. And what he had specifically said is that they've got Chelsea, they're pimping Chelsea. They're pimping Chelsea out there to pimp the campaign. And everybody had a big, fit about him using the word pimping, which, in its original context would mean, to send, someone out, usually female, to prostitute. But in today, we got pimp your ride, and, it's obviously, it was out of context, it was a little out of character, it was a little bit, a bad thing to say, certainly. But you're right, you're absolutely right, Shad, that our people say something that's mildly offensive, and it's a huge firestorm, yet these guys out on the talk radio right saying things that are 100 times worse. And that's why I like to do that segment on the Lunatic Fringe, is just to point this out.
Hillary is... she can throw a fit about this, but yet and say she won't go to a debate on NBC, but she'll show up on Fox News all the time. And I don't think she can explain that.
Well, I can explain it. It just has to do with Hillary Clinton doing whatever it'll take to get elected. And Hillary's always been fishing in that Republican pond. She doesn't have a problem with Fox News.
No, it's really, really sad. So thanks for everything you do. You do a great job.
Well, thank you very much, Shad. And I'll see you up there in Seattle, Washington come this summertime in August. I'll be up there. So good news out there. All the folks in Seattle, thanks for listening here to the show. Let's turn to one of our favorites, regular caller here on the show. We've got Ed in Chicago, Illinois. Ed, welcome back to the show.
How are you, Russ?
I'm having a good day.
Russ, I want to just, talk for a minute about the hypocrisy of this man, Bush. Okay. His wiretapping law, he says, is necessary to protect us from Al-Qaeda. But yet, 6.5 years after 9/11, he still hasn't secured the Mexican-American border so they can walk across.
No, hold on. Wait. We're not going there. That's incorrect. And here's why. Here's why. Right. With 9/11, when that happened, we had the 15 Saudis and four other guys. They didn't sneak across the Mexican border. They snuck across the Canadian border. Why isn't anyone talking about building a wall with Canada?
They're... You've got a good point there, correct? And he let him fly out of the country the next day to all those Saudi Arabian diplomats when the American people were grounded for 4 days.
Yeah, now I'm all for protecting our borders, but we need to, I think before we talk about protecting our borders, we ought to start talking about inspecting the cargo that comes into our ports, inspecting the cargo that goes into the belly of the planes. I'm much more worried about a bomb in a suitcase on the next flight to Seattle than I'm worried about Mexicans coming across the border to get jobs. That doesn't bother me so much.
You're so right, and you can thank Dubai Ports World for guarding our seaports. We have this Arab money laundering country that is guarding our seaports. And let me give you another example about just how hypocritical they are. They won't let Americans buy drugs in Canada or in Mexico or Canada. They say they're unsafe. But now it's turned out the American drug companies have been outsourcing the manufacturing of the drugs to China, who it is now alleged are producing unsafe drugs that they are sending back into this country. And if that's not bad enough, consider the Mexican truck drivers coming into our country unlicensed and unchecked by our standards, and they say the drugs are unsafe, but yet you have these untested Mexican truck drivers driving down our highway.
Yeah, you know, when and to look at something like that, you know, with the Mexican trucking and all that, again, it's not that I'm anti-Mexican or anything. I'm pro-union. I'm pro-labor. You know, why should our American truck drivers have to go through the what they have to do to get a commercial driver's license, what they have to do as far as drug testing, all of this, and yet, you know, we want to, and again, it's because the Bush administration's all about making it cheaper for the corporations, and there's nothing cheaper than Mexican truckers, then, you know, that's their goal, is to just cheapify it for, you know, all the big businesses, and to hell with the American worker. Well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate your call there. Let's get on to another call. We're going to go to the East Coast. I've got Adam in New York City. Adam, welcome to the show. Adam, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Okay, we got about a minute, Adam, so make it quick.
Okay, I just want to get straight to my point. With everything going on in the world with terrorism, all the important issues, Iraq and everything, Congress is worrying about steroids in baseball. As someone who's outraged myself about it, can't they tackle the real issues instead of having these show trials about steroids in baseball? That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Adam. That's a good point. And you know, another point that I wanted to get to just real quick here has to do with Arlen Specter. Arlen Specter now is saying he's going to have hearings about the New England Patriots and their Spygate issue. Is this really what our Congress should be paying attention to? Football and baseball games? We got bigger fish to fry here. All right. Well, thank you for your calls, and we're going to be taking more calls in the next segment at 866-5577-377. You can get involved. Make your voice heard. I'm Russ Belville. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Call Radical Russ now. 866-557-7377. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hello again. It's 35 after the hour, and you're listening to the Russ Belville Show, the weekend home for working class patriots who still love America, defend the Constitution, and believe in free speech in action. It's time for our free-for-all segment. Anything goes. Anything you want to talk about. Phones are open. Oh yeah, time for the free-for-all segment. Any segment you want to, anything you want to talk about. We've got the FISA, the torture, Hillary and Barack. But the one I want to get to, Adam in New York City just called me in the last segment, and he brought up the point about this whole testimony about steroids in baseball, as if we care. Does anybody out there really care, other than maybe Bob Costas, does anyone really care about whether or not these hulked up millionaires are taking steroids so they can hit more home runs or pitch more games or whatever? I don't care. I really don't. As far as I'm concerned. Yeah, let him.
I gotta say, this is a prime example of bread and circuses, man.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There's only one thing that can take our mind off coming recession and how much milk costs and gas and what a disaster the place is turning into, and that's Roger Clemens' bottom.
I like the way you say that. Say that again.
Thank you. Roger Clemens' bottom.
That puts it right in perspective. That sets it right where it should be. That's about how serious this should be taken. And yet, in front of Henry Waxman, you know, the mustache of justice, Representative Henry Waxman's having these hearings on whether or not Roger Clemens lied when he said that he'd never used steroids. And so he's got the trainer, Brian McNamee, the guy who allegedly injected the steroids into his butt. And these two guys sat right next to each other. One of them, obviously, being a complete liar.
I have no reason to lie and every reason not to. If I do lie, I will be prosecuted.
If you do lie, you'll be prosecuted.
When I told Senator Mitchell that I injected Roger Clemens with performance-enhancing drugs, I told the truth. I told the truth about steroids and human growth hormone. I injected those drugs into the body of Roger Clemens at his direction.
And then Roger Clemens says,
I'm not saying Senator Mitchell's report is entirely wrong. I am saying Brian McNamee's statements about me are wrong. Let me be clear. I have never taken steroids or HGH.
They disagree on whether over a period of 4 years, Mr. McNamee repeatedly injected Mr. Clemens with steroids and human growth hormone. Someone isn't telling the truth.
Obviously, someone is not telling the truth. And meanwhile, our Congress is spending all this time investigating whether or not so-and-so put such-and-such in a syringe in someone's butt. Again, do we care? Does anyone out there really care about that? Now, let's go to the phones, get the stuff that you really do care about. I want to talk to Jim in Lombard. What state are you in there, Jim?
Hey, Russ, I just wanted to say that there's still a real big debate in the world of philosophy about whether human behavior is predestined and predetermined by genetics and environment, or whether there really is free will. And there's still a real big debate about that in the philosophical world, and I don't know why everybody seems to be coming to the conclusion that it's free will.
So you're saying that people's destinies are designated by their genetics and their environment then?
Right.
So what was the genetics and the environment that caused George W. Bush to be, well, what he is? Any theories on that?
Well, all I would say is read the book Bush on the Couch and you'll find out.
Yeah, Bush on the Couch, that's a very good book. That's when one of the psychologists kind of reviewed all of George W. Bush's history and took a look at it and tried to examine what the psychological underpinnings of Bush might be. Well, thanks for that call, Jim. I appreciate that. And yeah, you know, we look back at George W. Bush's history. This is the kind of kid who, when he was a kid, he used to catch frogs and put firecrackers in their butt and blow them up. And all of your profilers out there that profile the people who are serial abusers or serial killers, they always tell you that, you know, one of the first signs of a psychosociopath like that is how they treat animals and how they abuse animals. And, you know, George W. Bush is right up there, you know, as a sociopath, if someone would do something like that. Exactly. I completely agree with that. Interesting point, Jim. Appreciate that. Anyone else wants to get on the phone and the fun here? It's 866-557-7377.
That sociopath stuff kind of scares me a bit, because it's absolutely true. And you can quote me on this. I bet he's a bedwetter too.
Well, I guess we'll have to ask Laura about that one, wouldn't we? Well,
Laura,
yeah.
It happened again.
Sorry, Laura, happening again. Oh, excuse me. Oh, I don't know about that, but it's worth pondering, that's for sure. I know that whether it's Hillary or Barack who wins the presidential election, they should definitely change the sheets. That's definitely something they want to look into. Yeah. And speaking of Hillary and Barack, let's talk a little bit about that as well. You know, it looks like it's coming down to Barack Obama being the candidate of the people. You know, just this past weekend, Saturday, there was those the primaries that they had, or primaries and caucuses they had in Washington, Nebraska, and Louisiana. He won those handily, you know, with quite a big majority of the vote there. And then in Maine, on Sunday, he wins that. And then on Tuesday, we had what they called the Potomac primaries, where we had the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia all voting for Barack Obama. And meanwhile, the spin coming out of the Clinton camp, this, I'm telling you, the wheels are coming off the Clinton campaign at this point. You had Mark Penn, her chief strategist, and God knows how he got that job. But Mark Penn comes out and says, well, you know, these wins for Barack, you know, they don't really mean anything because, you know, can we really have someone who wants to go to the general election who outside of Illinois didn't win any of the significant states? Yeah, how does that feel, Washington, Nebraska, Louisiana, Maine, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia? You're not significant to the Clinton campaign. You're not significant. How does that feel? Yeah, that's kind of the same kind of attitudes that we've gotten from the Bush administration. This is what we get from the Republicans, you know, and we get this. And could they have played into more of a Democratic stereotype? You know, one of the things let me slow down. One of the things here is that I'm originally from Idaho, okay? So I grew up surrounded by conservatives, and not just your garden variety, average, everyday, normal conservatives, okay? You know, heavy-duty red state, compassionate Christian conservatives. And one of their big knocks on the Democratic Party is always where they talk about the Democratic elite. You know, the elite, the Democratic elite, the Hollywood elite, the limousine liberals, the elite. Never mind the fact that the Republican Party stands for all the rich people who are actually the real elite. Like, last I checked, you know, Sean Penn and Susan Sarandon didn't have a whole lot of power to dictate what happens in this country, but the CEO of Walmart sure does, okay? So, you know, you can shelve that talk about the elite, okay? But, you know, one of the knocks they always gave on the Democratic Party was about the elites and how they were the coastal elites. Okay, they're all in Hollywood and LA and New York, and that everywhere in between is just flyover country. Good work, Mark Penn. Put Hillary Clinton right there where all of the folks in my home state, all the folks in the Midwest, always believed the Democrats to be. Now, let's go back to the phones. I've got Glenn in Park Ridge, Illinois. Glenn, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hello, Russ. This is Glenn Fritz from Park Ridge. I heard some conversation about George Bush pulling fire alarms when he was in high school. That would sort of fit in with his adult behavior of having enjoyment of pulling alarms or watching people run around in fear. I just wonder if this psychohistory, does any evidence about that?
Yeah, I had heard that too about the whole fire alarm thing, and you know, that's just another type of a you know, not very, kind of a mild sociopathic thing to do, to try to terrify people and to find that to be funny, and just another telling story about George W. Bush, and we still see it in the way that he treats the people now, scaring. I mean, remember 2004 when we had the election between him and Kerry? It seemed like we had some sort of terror alert, you know, a red or an orange terror alert every, you know, couple of weeks, and then surprisingly after the election, no more terror alerts. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, the terror alert, that's your national equivalent of pulling the fire alarm. Absolutely. Thank you for your call, Glenn. Glad you pointed that out. We got some more callers coming up, but we got to take a short break and pay some bills. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hey there, it's 49 after the hour, and I'm Radical Russ, your red state refugee, the weekend voice of the average working class heroes like you, the people who make this country great. And if you'd like to engage in a little bit of capitalism, you can advertise on the Russ Belville Show. Just send me an email. It's radicalruss@gmail.com. We also want to make you aware of the website, radicalruss.net. Cartoons from Keith Tucker are up there, as well as our poll. Our poll is, who's it for you now? Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama? Make your opinion known on our poll at radicalruss.net. Now, here in the last segment, I'd like to take a look at the input that I'm getting from my listeners out there from the emails. Yeah, in our first email here, I've got an email from...
Happy Vikings!
Thanks, Steve.
I love spam!
This is what happens when you get a British engineer.
Sorry, Gav.
Anyway, I got this email from John from Illinois, and he was writing about a segment we had a couple of weeks ago when a caller had called in claiming that Barack Obama was ageist, that he had dissed Hillary Clinton, and that he was being ageist. And so John writes, I just heard a caller from Chicago who at age 62 felt he had been dissed by Obama. How wrong is his thinking? Very. Obama has respect for all citizens, and he is right with Hillary that we would be getting old school politics. I'm old enough to remember the magic of a brand new generation of politicians, read Kennedy, and that is what Obama brings to the table. I'm white, over 60, and solidly behind Obama, and like you, I'm tired of the same old menu.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
And, you know, I agree with that. I think that's the generational, transformational candidate that we have in Barack Obama. It's about change, and it's about having a new voice to be heard in our politics. Now, also, I got another letter on that from Edson in San Diego, who says he was 62, and he was right there during the whole Vietnam War protest saga, and points out that Hillary Clinton's 60, and Barack Obama's 46, so he's not exactly a kid, and not that much younger than Clinton anyway. And he points out how Hillary was a Republican back in those days, during the Vietnam War days, and gained some recognition for what was her principled compromise to blunt the efforts of the Vietnam War protesters. And he also points out that Nixon had a secret plan to get us out of Vietnam, and it seems like Hillary Clinton is not that different.
A retreat from the United States from Vietnam would be a communist victory, a victory of massive proportions, and would lead to World War III.
Interesting opinion, Edson from San Diego on that one. And finally, hey, guess what, Steve?
What?
I got my first hate mail.
Oh!
Yeah, I got a hate mail.
Hate.
Yeah, I got a hate mail. I got to read this hate mail. This is wonderful. This is John from Carthage, Missouri, who writes, as a socially moderate conservative, I enjoy listening to what's left of Air America on the XM sometimes. How can you talk about conservatives or whomever, Rush, Beck, as haters when your whole shtick is so hateful and black-hearted? How is this not obvious to you? I will be contacting your advertisers with specific complaints. Good luck, hater. Oh, and you know what I have to say to that.
Well, la-di frickin' da!
All right, so let's wrap things up.
Oh, with... man, hey.
Hey, yeah.
Send out advertisers.
That's right. Send your hate mail to radicalruss@mail.com. I can take it. All right, we got some speed round time here. Let's get a couple more calls. I've got Mylan in Chicago, Illinois, who's been hanging on the line. Thanks for waiting, Mylan. You're on the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, Radical Russ. It's a funny show, and listening to WCPT in Chicago, and it's a great show. You know, the only link to sanity in the postmodern world.
Yeah, we try. We try to keep it light and easy, because if you think too hard about it, it's going to make you cry.
Everyone should read that book, Bush on the Couch, because it's an excellent book. There's a little Bush in all of us, unfortunately. It's an excellent book. The point I wanted to make, I guess, was the Harry Reid, how he caved in about the FISA bill.
Yeah.
They said he made it raise the bar to 60 votes. It didn't really have to be 60 votes, but you know he did that.
You got it right. You know they've got this gentleman's agreement that says if they can't get 60 votes, they're not even going to go forward with the bill. Meanwhile, when the Republicans were in the majority, we got nothing but talking about the nuclear option. If we even dared to filibuster anything, why Harry Reid lets them get away with not having to stand in front of the American people on C-SPAN hour after hour and actually filibuster this stuff, I can't understand it.
I know. Why don't we do we should do the nuclear option. The people are on our side now.
I don't know if I want to do that, because you know there is a point to having the filibuster and there being some way to respect the rights of a minority. I think that's a good thing. It's worked in the Congress for 200 years. It's just we never expected someone to be like the Bush administration and his neocon lackeys in the Republican Congress, who would ignore the Constitution and ignore sentiment. Thank you for your opinion. I got to keep moving. Got another call on the line I want to get to.
Okay, rock on.
Oh, we'll rock on as long as we're on the air. We got Ryan also calling from Chicago, Illinois. Ryan, let's talk about steroids.
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot more important things out there, but one thing that I think people are forgetting is that
these guys are role models to kids, and if kids know that these guys paying millions of dollars are getting using steroids, it might prop them to go ahead and use steroids. And I know it's not a widespread problem like a lot of drugs are, but you know, it's not like the whole Congress is going after it. And maybe I am a little bit biased towards Roger Clemens because I am from Boston originally.
Well, let me give you a take on this.
We got to remember these guys are looked up to by kids, and we can't condone any of that kind of stuff. You know, baseball, it's a great American sport. I think that, you know, while it's not the most important issue out there, it still is an issue, and it's something that we shouldn't sweep under the rug.
Okay.
Well,
that's a good opinion, but let me give you what my take on this whole steroids thing. You know, everybody brings up the role models for the kids, and the problem with it right now is the way that we look at the chemical enhancement of an athlete. Why is it that chemically enhancing your performance is some sort of cheating, but surgically enhancing your performance is not? I mean, how many players back in the 50s or 60s would have had much better and more productive careers had they had arthroscopic knee surgery back then? You know, steroids don't have to be dangerous. Under a doctor's supervision and under a good, healthy regimen there, if someone knows what they're doing, they can take steroids and it doesn't cause that much harm. I just don't understand why people think that's cheating, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad image for the kids if we point out that it has to be under doctor's supervision, it's carefully controlled, it can be dangerous. We allow people to take all sorts of risks with their life, and I don't understand that why a baseball player who has chewing tobacco in his mouth is less of a role model to kids than one who takes steroids. But I appreciate your opinion there. I got to wrap things up for the show today. Thank you, everybody, for joining me here on the Russ Belville Show. And you can always send me an email. It's radicalruss@gmail.com. I answer all my emails, so I'd love to get to know more of the people across this great country. I'm definitely proud to be an American and proud to be on this radio station talking to you every week. For all of us here at the Russ Belville Show, including Stevie Lee on the boards, I'm Radical Russ Belville, your Red State refugee. Take care of each other, America. We'll be back next weekend with more progressive talk.